Romans 3, verses 1 and 2. This message is entitled, Is There Any Advantage? Is there any advantage? Paul has argued that the Jew had an advantage. He argued throughout Romans chapter 2 of the advantages that they had. He also argued that the religious person has an advantage. As long as you don't think that you can be saved by these advantages. That was the problem. People think that they can be saved because of the advantages that they have, that they're a member of a church, that they have received baptism, that they participate in the Lord's Supper, that the Jew has been circumcised. All of these advantages, in the end, it turned into a disadvantage to them because they sought their salvation in the advantages. Is there advantage? Absolutely. Paul says in Romans 3:2, much in every way. What advantage then has the Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? Much. Much in every way. To have an advantage. Where does it speak of some of the advantages? If you turn to Romans 9, we'll be camped out there for a little while and we'll see the advantages that the Jewish people had. Romans 9, verses 4 and 5. Who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, the eternally blessed God. Amen. Quite a different from those of us who are Gentiles, who are without hope in the world. It's listed the advantages that the Jew had. Let us look at some of the places in the scripture where these advantages are mentioned. Paul gives us a list in Romans 9 of the advantages. Let's see where he gets them from. First of all, look at Exodus 4, where we see the adoption as sons. Exodus 4, verses 22 and 23. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, Thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. Well, the God of this universe. Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I say to you, let my son go, that he may serve me. But if you refuse to let him go, indeed, I will kill your son, your firstborn. The adoption as sons. A sovereign act of God. He drew the Jewish people into a special relationship that they could call him their father. The son, my son, the firstborn. And here we were, the Gentiles, without a hope, excluded from the covenants. And it said of the Jews that they were sons of God. Israel is my son, my firstborn. They should have known that the Messiah had come. They should have known the time of their visitation. But they didn't. Their advantages turned into disadvantages. So many today, they have the advantages, and it turns into a disadvantage. Advantage? Yes. The adoption of sons. Secondly, we see the divine glory. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 4. It speaks of the divine glory. As I said, what an advantage. The divine glory, 1 Samuel 4, 21 and 22. God's own judgment against the Jewish people. Was he took that divine glory away. And it said in 1 Samuel 4, verses 21 and 22. Then she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel." Ichabod, the glory has departed from Israel because the ark of God has been captured and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, "The glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God has been captured." The divine glory is where God revealed himself. God revealed himself on Mount Sinai to Moses. God resided in the Holy of Holies. God resided in the temple. God was dwelling amongst the people of Israel. No other nation had this privilege. It specifically says the glory has departed from Israel. Not the glory has departed from Russia or Japan or China or Spain or the United States, this little country in the Middle East. The glory has departed from Israel. They had the adoption as sons. They had the divine glory, the very presence of God dwelling amongst them. And because they wouldn't obey God, the Father, it says that the glory has departed. Once again, the advantage was turned into a disadvantage. The divine glory departed. Also, it said of the Jewish people, they had the covenants. Turn to Acts 3:25. Paul says, yes, they had an advantage, much in every way. Acts 3:25. You, imagine this. Here you are sitting there. 2,000 years ago. You are sons of the prophets. Imagine that's your heritage. Most people look back, they go to ancestry.com and they're like, I don't even want to know what my relatives were like. And here it said of the Jewish people, you are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And in your seed, the families of the earth shall be blessed. The prediction of the coming Messiah, not only would the Jewish people have an advantage, but that same advantage would someday come to the Gentiles, to our Lord Jesus Christ. They had the covenants. They had also, it says in that text, the covenant. Some translations has the covenants. They had a covenant, Abrahamic covenant. They had the Mosaic covenant. They had the Davidic covenant. All these different covenants that the Lord had made with them. But in that text specifically, it's talking about the Abrahamic covenant, the one of the promised Messiah. And these were based on God's promise, on his good pleasure, not on their performance. And we'll see that in Romans 4 about the Abrahamic covenant, that it's unconditional. It's simply given. So we see the Jew had the advantage. They were adopted as sons. They had the divine glory dwelling in their midst. The covenant of salvation and other covenants, the land covenant was given to them. The law was given to them through the Mosaic covenant. Also, they had the advantage of the receiving of the law. Look at Psalm 147. You talk about advantages, and they all turned into disadvantages for the Jewish people. Psalm 147, 19 and 20. He declares his word to Jacob. Notice, to Jacob, not to Bob, not to Harry, not to Steve, not to any of these other people, but to Jacob. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Jacob's name later on, which was Israel. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel. Notice, he has not dealt thus with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Here's God specifically giving the law to one group of individuals, the Jewish people. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any other nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. The receiving of the Lord, the law, the very revealed word of God, which we'll see next week when we look into the oracles of God. Advantage, adoption as sons. Advantage, the divine glory. Advantage, the covenant. Advantage, the receiving of the law. Imagine just those four. And they would all turn into disadvantages to the Jewish people. Notice also, the next advantage, they had the temple worship, as it says in the NIV, or the New King James, it has the service of God. They had the service of God committed onto them. The Levites handled the things of God. They were in the temple where God had manifested himself. They dealt with the divine glory. They actually had men go into the Holy of Holies where God's presence himself dwelt. And the beauty of it all was in the temple service. In the temple service, everything that was in the temple service pointed to the atoning work of Jesus Christ. That's why they should have known the time of their visitation for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, if not millennia. All the temple worship, all the temple service pointed to the atonement of Jesus Christ. All the shed blood on the altar. All the slain lambs, all the slain animals, all the offerings offered up, all pointing to one Messiah. But they took their very advantage and turned it into disadvantage, as we saw all throughout Romans 2. The very things that God had given them to bless them, they turned into a curse. It became a curse to them because they thought that their salvation came through all of these advantages. But all those advantages were simply given to them as a gift by God. They had the service of God. Look at Hebrews 9, where we see of the service. Hebrews 9, we set the text in verse 1. Then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service in the earthly sanctuary. They saw all what they had to do in the temple. Look down at verse 6 of Hebrews 9. Now when these things had been thus prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle, notice, performing the services. They handled the things of God daily, adopted as sons, advantage, divine glory, advantage, the covenant, advantage, the receiving of the law, advantage, the temple worship, the service of God, advantage. Also notice the next advantage, Acts 2:39. We see the next advantage that is mentioned in Romans 9 that they had. Acts 2, verse 39. For the promise is to you. Well, let me start at verse 38 of Acts 2. Then Peter said to them, repent. Notice it said repent, not open your heart. Nothing like that. Repent. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Notice, there's a remission of sins no place else but in Jesus Christ. And notice what the result of repenting, being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, believing in Christ. Notice, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 39, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. They had the promise made to them. And not only to them. Now you're starting to see the Gentiles brought into the promise. And to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Service of God. The covenants. The divine glory. The adoption as sons. The temple worship. The promise. Look at Acts 18 while you're over in Acts. The promises. All of the Old Testament prophets, but specifically the promise of salvation through a Messiah, through the shedding of blood. Acts 13:32. And we declare to you glad tidings. Notice that promise which was made to the fathers. Made to the fathers. That's also another advantage that they had. As I said, most of us go back in our genealogy. It's like, no, no thanks. Forget about it. I'd rather not even know. But to them, the Jewish people, the promises, also the patriarchs. The patriarchs. Chiefly, it means three men in particular. Go to Matthew 22:32. Who are the patriarchs that we're talking about? Matthew 22:32. I am. Notice, it doesn't say I was. It says I am. Matthew 22:32. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. What is he dying? First of all, he's telling you who the patriarchs are, that the Jews had the advantage they had. They had Abraham. They had Isaac. They had Jacob. And here's God saying, he's not the God of the dead, but of the living. They said, I am the God. Not I was the God of Abraham. Did you know that I was the God of Isaac? Do you know I was the God of Jacob? He said, I am, because they are alive. Advantage. The Jew. The patriarchs, the promises, the temple worship, the receiving of the law, the covenants, the divine glory, the adoption as sons. Also, look at Matthew 1:1. While you're in there, you talk about genealogy. Matthew 1:1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, and so on. And so forth. They also had the human ancestry of Jesus Christ come through their bloodline. Through their bloodline. But yet, lest you be discouraged, I would also remind you that in that account of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, you find many prolific sinners in there. You find numerous sinners in there. And lo and behold, you find a few Gentiles in there. You find Rahab in that genealogy. You find that woman in there, a prostitute in there. Advantage, the Jew, the human ancestry of Jesus Christ. And as we'll see next week, the chief advantage that they had was the very oracles of God, the scripture, the word. Advantage. Is there advantage? Yes. As long as you never take these advantages to think that they are the means to your salvation. They point to Christ. As I mentioned last week, Christ alone. Baptism points to Christ. The sacraments point to Christ. The adoption as sons point to Christ. The divine glory point to Christ. The covenant points to Christ. The law points to Christ. The temple worship points to Christ. The promise points to Christ. The patriarchs point to Christ. And his human ancestry, they all point to Christ, to the coming Messiah. You never take the advantages of God and turn it into a disadvantage. There is no greater possession, as we'll see next week. I said about the oracles of God, that is the final advantage that Paul mentions in our text, that there is no greater possession in the world than the scripture itself. That's the greatest thing that you can possess in this world outside of Christ, because the scripture points to Christ anyway. But you can have all the houses and cars and boats and CDs and DVDs and ABCs and IRAs and every other thing. But the oracles of God. As we'll see next week, Paul says in Romans 3, verse 2, verse 1, what advantage then has the Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? I just mentioned all the advantages, much in every way, but then chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. And as I said, I want to spend the whole message next week about the oracles of God. But let me just say this, that without the possession of the Scripture, without us possessing the oracles of God, without them, we are confused. Without them, we cannot answer the great questions of life. That's why I mentioned, you can have all the other things that I just mentioned. You can have power and glory and honor and prestige and family and friends and money and strength, and you just add whatever you want to. But if you don't have the Scriptures, and you don't have the knowledge of the Scriptures, you're missing the greatest thing that you can ever find in this earth. As I said, without them, you cannot know life. You cannot know. I remember as a child, I used to say, why am I here? Why am I here? What is the purpose of life? Why am I here? What is this all about? Without the Scriptures, we cannot know ourselves. Did they have an advantage? Yes, they had an advantage. They had the very oracles of God. But what happened is, they were blinded by their own self-righteousness, and they took the oracles of God that was to show us of our sin. And rather than seeing themselves as sinners, they found themselves as self-righteous people. They didn't understand the Scriptures. The Scripture shows us the way of salvation. They became a works righteousness people. They had no need for a Messiah anymore. Also, the Scripture tells us about heaven. The Scripture tells us about hell. The Scripture says about Jesus Christ. Just today I was reading in John where the Jews are arguing with Jesus about Abraham and says, what? Were you before our father Abraham? He said, matter of fact, I was. I was before him, and he relished the day. He looked forward to the day of my coming. The Scriptures. The Bible gives us the answers. You want to know the meaning of life? You want to know about life? You want to know about death? You want to know about eternity? You want to know about God the Father? You want to know about Jesus Christ? You want to know about the Holy Spirit? The oracles of God, the words of God. Paul says, chiefly, that is the thing they had. All the things I mentioned, the adoption, the sons, the divine glory, the covenants, receiving the law, temple worship, the promises, the patriarchs, the human ancestry of Christ, all those things are advantages. And Paul's saying, chiefly, that they had the word of God. The very word of God. And one thing that you can say about the Jewish people is they were faithful with that word of God. For hundreds and hundreds and millennia, thousands of years, they brought the word to the Jewish, the Jewish people brought the word to the Gentile. What Paul is saying in our text tonight is that there is an advantage to being a Jewish person. And he's also saying there is an advantage to being a religious Gentile as long as you understand. As long as you understand that none of the advantages can save you. From the sacraments, to church membership, even studying the Bible. There's unregenerate people, there's Jewish people that know the whole Torah word for word. They know five books of the Bible word for word. And they're as damned as the heathen in Romans 1. Because they've never received Jesus Christ. They've never repented of their sins. As I read earlier, Peter telling Jewish people. See? Advantage, yes. But that advantage you can turn into a disadvantage. And the Gentiles must understand that because the Gentile church is full of unregenerate people. And you have to go no further than to listen, to speak to one of them that practice every kind of sin that's in the Bible. And they would think that they're Christians. People that haven't been to church in 20 or 30 years. Oh, I'm a Christian. It's like, really? See? Because they were born into, quote unquote, a Christian culture. Into a Christian culture. Somehow they have taken that advantage, and it is an advantage. You could have been raised on the breast, as the old Puritans said, on the breast of a Mohammedan that taught you Islam from day one. But even in this Christian nation, with parents that weren't believers, there was still an advantage. My parents were unbelievers, but they pointed me to church, even though it was the wrong church. But the point is, I still heard of the Trinity. I still heard that Jesus Christ was God. I still heard of sin. I still heard of hell. There was an advantage, just as with the Jewish people. But what happens is, you take your sacraments and you think that that is the means of salvation. See? You must receive these seven sacraments in order to save your soul. As opposed to these sacraments are to point you to Jesus Christ. Church membership doesn't save you. Religious practices are extremely, extremely beneficial if they're used properly. Let us look at a few advantages. First of all, some advantages. Even if God does not save you, you will have sinned less and receive at least less severe punishment. The person that's raised in the church, you've been warned and warned and warned and warned and warned. What's an advantage? At least you're not going to have as severe punishment as the other person in hell. Because you were warned. You heard the word. You stayed away from particular sins. Don't think that everybody is in hell and experiencing the same judgment. Everybody is in hell, but there's different levels of judgment. God will judge everyone according to their sins, as we saw previously. Alright? So one of the advantages of being raised in the church, you know, when I was 5 years old listening to them preach, there was things that I said, well, I'm not going to do. I was terrified of. See? It was an advantage. There was an advantage to that. Also, going to a good believing church will at least cause you to know the way of salvation through the preaching of the word. You who have gone to church all your life. You may be 20 years old, 30 years old, 40 years old. You've gone to church all your life. Even though you're unregenerate, you hear the preaching of the word week in and week out. At least you're in the right place to hear the word of God. Advantage. Advantage. You've been warned by the word of God. You know what the law says. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. So you trying to obey them in some degree will keep your punishment to a lower degree. You being in the church will at least expose you to the way of salvation. You know the way of salvation. Third advantage of going to church. It is true, the reading and the preaching of the word, that God is most likely to save you. Advantage. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. At least you're in the place where God can save you. 1 Peter 1, 23-25 in 1 Peter chapter 1. Having been born again, notice, having been born again, there's another birth. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, notice, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. See, when you're in the church, you're in the place where you will hear the word of God. Where you can be born again, notice, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. An advantage of going to a Bible-believing church, even if you are unregenerate. God has shown his mercy to you for the simple fact that you not only know the way of salvation, that you know that there's degrees of punishment, that you know that sin will be punishment, but you're in the very place where God will most likely save your soul. And notice, it's through the preaching of the word. And the fourth advantage in the church setting is this. You will see and you will hear the things concerning Christ. You will see in the sense of the sacraments, the baptism. You will see Christ in baptism. You will see Christ in the Lord's Supper, in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the wine. You will see the gospel in a church setting, and you will hear the things concerning Christ. You will hear that you are lost. You will hear of the wrath of God. You will hear of your sin. You will hear that you cannot save yourself. You will hear of God's grace. You will hear of God's mercy, God's greatness, God's sovereignty, God's omnipotence, His omnipresence. You will hear of heaven. You will hear of hell. You will hear of condemnation. You will hear of justification. You will hear of salvation. What advantage is there in sacraments, in baptism, in church attendance, in circumcision of old? What advantage? The advantage is this, and this alone, that they all point to Christ. They point to Christ alone. As I mentioned last week, the sacraments point to Christ alone. That's the sign pointing you to Christ alone. It is not the reality itself. The sign points you to Christ. And all of these advantages that you would have had throughout your life is to point you to Christ alone, through faith alone, so that all glory goes to Christ alone. Advantage, Jew? Yes. Advantage, Gentile? Yes, that's been raised in Christian nations, quote-unquote, Christianized nations. They have an advantage. They've gone to church. Be it some of them or false churches, God can save you in a false church. He may take you out after He saves you there, but the Word of God can still do its job in a false church even. And not that I'm recommending false churches, don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying, a man is born again, a woman is born again by the Word of God. Advantage, yes. The Gentiles at one time, 2,000 years ago, we were excluded from the promises. We are no longer excluded. There's all Gentiles sitting at this table. Now we have an advantage, just as the Jew had an advantage. As we'll see next week, promoting next week. Will have the oracles of God. The Gentile didn't have the oracles of God. The Jew had them. Then the oracles of God went to the Gentiles. It spread throughout all countries. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word. We thank You for the Scripture. We thank You for all the advantages that You've given us. And Father, we pray that the advantages would never become disadvantages to us. That we would understand that all of these advantages were simply given to us to point to Christ and to Christ alone, to be all the glory alone. For it is all about Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that if there be any that listen to this message that have never repented and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that that would take place today, that Your Holy Spirit would grant new life to such a one that would simply ask You. And Father, we thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy, and for Your grace. And it's all because of Christ and Christ alone. Amen.